Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Been an energetic show, post-Patriot loss.
Spirited, dare I say.
Spirited. We've had Drake May being in on the joke or not in on the joke or screwing with us or I don't even know. But if you missed our interview with Drake May about an hour ago, you can always go back on the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, which is flawless. Used it this morning when I forgot and was a little bit late for the Mike Vrabel interview. Boom, back to the rewind. Boom, Mike Vrabel listened to him talking about turds and other things, which was very entertaining. You can also get WEEI's podcast, WEEI Afternoons, on iHeart, on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast. You can also stick around because about 5:40 we'll talk to or replay the interview with Drake May. And got into a lot of interesting things, not just the turnovers, but some areas you might not expect. So stick around for that. Quick reply to the text line that says the truth can be mean, Andy, if you call a homely child ugly. It's absolutely mean. There are plenty of other examples. No, because for something to be the truth, it has to be factual. Ugly is not factual.
That's opinion-based.
That's an opinion. So therefore, that can be mean.
But you've said it out loud, implying that you believe it to be true.
No. It has to be truth. The truth is never mean. If everybody can agree on the truth, then it's never mean. Like, if you say somebody is fat, we know fat is fat. Ugly is subjective. Fat is fat. When your doctor says, listen, your BMI is too high, you're fat.
So if you went up to a woman and called her fat, you don't think that's mean?
Oh, I said it's mean.
So the truth
is mean. It hurts, but it's not
mean. Oh, no. He just got caught.
Come on.
He's playing semantics.
No. Who would ever walk up to someone and say, hey, by the way, we don't know each other, but you're overweight?
A really, 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 really not nice person.
A mean person, some would say.
No, but if it's a fact, it's a fact. What if that person's a doctor and they say it out of a place of hope to get them to clean up their life, to get on one of those drugs,
that's
to live longer?
So competitive. Oh, this guy.
Anyway, 5 o'clock. We could debate this all day long, but we don't have time for that. Yes, we can move on to... The Drive at 5.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home.
Stop!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Before we get into The Drive, I have a quick question for the experts. When someone sends a text like 12 times on our text line,
yeah,
how does that happen? Do they actually hit send 12 times? Is there
they
like
don't think it goes through and they just keep hitting send and then eventually they just all go through. Either that or they're psychopaths and they want you to pay attention to them.
Well, then a psychopath from the 617 just chimed in about the Red Sox and Bregman and Devers
One,
and sell
two,
the
three,
team.
Four,
and
five. Yeah, that's at least five.
There's a lot going on in that.
Six.
Text
it just
there.
Came through again.
So Mike Vrabel was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, as he is each and every Monday at 6:30 a.m., which last week he complained is a bad slot for him. And actually, Alex Cora corroborated that with us on Wednesday when he said he would never go on at 6:30 in the morning. It's got nothing to do with the show, but with his job and he's up late, that would be a recipe probably for not his best performances.
Truth.
But Mike Vrabel, I thought, put on a decent performance today. I didn't think there was anything overly critical that I had coming out of that interview.
No, sounded a little tired, though. Definitely, like, the season, the young season has worn on him a touch.
His team gave up 5 turnovers. 5. Mm-hmm. I think that
should have been 6 or 7.
They'll be great.
Oh, plus, they actually turned it over on down, so that's technically a 6th.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. So 6 turnovers. 6 turnover game. I think that'll age, annoy, and tire out a head coach, even if he's in great shape and can run down the sideline like Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel had a comment about, well, I say lipstick on a pig. He said something else.
I'm sure happy with, at least from a perspective of those guys, not giving up, not getting frustrated by the turnover.
No, so, I mean, we can polish the turd however we want to. and just understand that, you got a 5% chance to win a game where you have that many turnovers. The average margin of victory in those instances is probably 18 points. And to think that we still had a chance. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's stuff that's very detrimental, obviously, and we have to we got to correct it, and we have to be able to move on, but we have to be able to coach it and acknowledge it.
So he didn't think his team laid an egg. He thinks it was a turd that they put forth on the field of Foxborough. Mm-hmm. 3-16 in their last 19 games at Gillette Stadium, a really poor performance. He emphasized starting fast the last couple weeks. Therefore, when they won the toss, he took the ball, thinking, oh, this will be good. We'll get a good return, and then we'll get a good drive. Well, they didn't get a good return. They didn't get a good drive. Mm-mm. And things didn't really get much better from there when you turn the ball over 5 times. That said, I actually think Drake May was pretty good, and that is my main takeaway. But I think Mike Vrabel's main takeaway is, bleep, that'll get you beat. I think that's what he saw. Like, he really struggles to put into context some of the good stuff that was on the field, because there was some good stuff.
When there's so much bad stuff that is done by your team, penalties once again, not the best day at the office for your offensive line, especially the rookies, but that's part of the learning curve. Obviously, the 5 turnovers, missed opportunities like Drake connecting with Pop twice on that final drive. That's the kind of stuff that's not only just the bleep that'll get you beat, that's also the bleep that'll keep you up at night. And I want to ask this question. How long do you think until we see, or do you even believe this team capable of playing, I won't say a perfect game, but so far they're...
Did you say perfect?
No, I said, that's why I said they're not capable of a perfect game. But do we believe that they're capable of playing a mistake-free game?
How about we say it like this? Not even capable of playing a mistake-free game.
Okay.
How long till they can play winning football against a winning football caliber opponent?
Well, they'll get their first opportunity in 13 days in Orchard Park.
Yeah, that is a winning caliber opponent. So can they play winning football? That's a game where that's a good example. You go out there, you might lose, let's just say, 28-17.
Mm-hmm.
And say,
are you in it till the fourth quarter, though?
We played pretty well today. We didn't screw up. They're better than us. They have Josh Allen. He's the best football player on the planet. They've been together. They have a great coach. They have the most underrated running back in the NFL who gets yards after the whole thing.
Nice little cadre of receivers.
That whole thing. But you could lose that game by like 10 points and feel better about it than this game, because that's a good opponent. You didn't screw up. Tough place, blah, blah. Like, all the factors will... Moral victory, Patriots Monday, could be in full
effect.
You
and many of the members of Pat's Nation, the callers to Six Rings yesterday and beyond, have been able to divine more positive out of yesterday than I have. As a matter of fact, yesterday's game has only continued to sour and sit worse with me. You blew an opportunity to win a game. And you know what you did? You failed the test. The next test after finding a way to win a game was test number 2. Try to win 2 games in a row. Try to prove you can win away from your yard and then win at your yard. And you couldn't. But you didn't get beat yesterday. You beat yourself.
Sure.
And that's the worst part.
Because you're not talented enough.
Why do you have to be? Wait, you don't have to be untalented to beat yourself. That's just fundamentally flawed.
Oh, I think the mistakes.
That's immature, sloppy, reckless.
I mean, talent, maturity, efficiency, those all go hand in hand. Like, Pop Douglas isn't very good at playing football. Like, that's how I've decided.
Well, he's good enough to make it to the NFL.
Well,
so let's.
Yeah, I'm using the NFL barometer.
Okay.
Obviously,
right,
he's better than high school and college players.
He's not very good at playing clutch professional football.
No, just professional football. I don't even care about the clutch part. He hasn't been good all year. Has he been good at any point this season?
Well, there was that one catch.
Yeah, that one catch. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going to live off of? One catch?
That's well, David ridiculous. Tyree has.
Real quick before we move on, I do want to just align this, and we'll pick up on this tomorrow with Ted Johnson when he joins us, 3:30, TED Talk, breaking it down in his eyes. First 3 games a year ago, Gerard Mayo's team, 13 penalties. Mike Vrabel's team this year, 27. Gerard Mayo's team, three games a year ago to start the season, one turnover. Mike Vrabel's, six turnovers.
Excuse me?
Record 1-2, record 1-2. Things get better. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny how
the Mike Vrabel and Gerard Mayo comparisons are going to get interesting in the coming weeks. Ramondre Stevenson was the head of the class when it comes to turnovers, but he was also at the head of the class. He took the two turnover performance in about as professional a fashion as you could.
Coach Vrabel was in there talking, like, we need you. That, those are his words. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I appreciate it, but I got to hold on the ball for the, you know, to have value and, you know, put value on this team. So if I can't help the ball, they don't need me.
Our guy Buck, Steve Buckley, former contributor here on WEEI Afternoons, the big show in lots of years, asked Ramondre Stevenson about that, and I give Ramondre credit. To have value, you got to hold on to the ball. But you know how he also has value? They don't have other options. They have no
other
options.
That's called leverage.
Okay, call it leverage, but his value right now is, until they do our little reality TV show where they collect all the unemployed running backs that are veterans around the NFL, fly them to Foxborough.
Guess who's back?
Have them work out and then pick one of them. Then if they can find a replacement, that's great. But right now they don't have a replacement. Antonio Gibson has a fumbling history, so don't think he's just going to be clean, especially if you try to get him out there to ask him to, I don't know, carry the ball 20 times, touch it 28 times.
That would be a mistake.
Travion Henderson, he's averaging 2.5 yards a carry this performance with 11 carries. He doesn't look like he's ready for the big time the way
we
all hoped.
He ain't ready either. So let me ask you this. If the Patriots do, in fact, call 5 of those running backs that are, quote, on the streets right now on the veritable NFL waiver wire, who gets the tweet first? Who gets to let us know?
Oh, I think that's Schefter and
Krabsy. Yates?
No.
Really?
It'll be a national level thing.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think that'll
be. And do you think it's going to happen?
I don't think Field Yates is as tied in with the Patriots since Belichick's left.
His
connection was Nantucket.
Yeah.
Belichick boys. Like, Steve's his guy. He had good connections. He had worked for Bill. I think he's lost his connections. I think that'll be a national thing. If Ramondre Stevenson handled that question professionally, which I thought he did, as best he could, I looked like he wanted to cry after throwing his helmet on the field. Well, Pop Douglas, who came up short, literally and figuratively, on the 4th-and-2 play to end the game, I don't really care for the way he answered questions about his performance.
4th-down play, is that designed for you to get to the sticks, or is that designed to go before and make a play?
It was a play. It wasn't designed for anything. It was just...
Did you think you were at the first down?
Not.
Or you didn't know what
you were? Yeah, I was somewhere by it. I know I was somewhere by it, because we only had 2 yards.
So you knew you probably had to make a play, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
facts.
That is one of the worst performances by an athlete at the podium after a mistake that I've ever seen. Sorry, at his locker, not the podium.
Oh, Devontae Parker would like to enter that chat.
No, he just laughed that the play is not designed for anything. I think Josh McDaniels would like to have a word with him. Is he claiming that they don't design plays? That they, what did he draw, Drake May, do what we do in the backyard? See, you go here and then turn around.
You know when they say, like, hey, boy, Josh is really deep in his bag today. It's literally a bag, and it's got a bunch of plays written on it, and you just reach inside and pull one out. Of course it's a play designed to get 2 yards when you need one.
And
come
he
on.
Didn't know whether he was at 2 yards or not. There are receivers, like, I think if you asked Larry Fitzgerald, or if you asked Rob Gronkowski, or if you asked... Peyton Manning. Remember when Manning used to warm up with his guys, Reggie Wayne, and they would do the same. They wouldn't even speak, and they would just boom, 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 boom. I think those guys know exactly how many strides it is to get 7 yards, how many strides it is if I do a comeback, where I'm going to end up. Like, they are professionals. They are experts in their
field. They've done it a couple few times, and they also know their body size and how far the field.
Yeah, exactly. So what's his excuse? Works. Why is a third-year NFL veteran not capable of knowing whether he was at 2 yards when he needed 2 yards to get a first down? Forget about the horrific decision he made after the catch to try to go backwards to pick up positive yardage and, I guess, turn it into a big play.
Anything more infuriating when you watch as a fan, coach, youth, sports, etc., always yelling, the touchdown's this way. That way. Go that way.
Time now for League Leaders and Who's Circling the Drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Patriots in the League Leaders category for mistakes yesterday. That would be turnovers, but also the performance of one Pop Douglas. So two fumbles, Ramondre Stevenson, Pop Douglas with a horrific play with the game on the line. whose Patriots career is circling the drain more closely? Or let me put it differently. Who has a better chance to make it to the end of the season, Ramondre Stevenson or Pop Douglas? I don't think they both do.
Oh, no?
I don't think they both make it to the end of the year.
That's it? We have to choose one?
I'm choosing Pop Douglas. I think he is circle. He the pop, the poop, he gives a poop about Pop is circling the drain.
This feels like football
Squid
Game. He's
just not productive. And I give Drake May credit when we talk to him, supporting him. He's made a lot of plays. He's my guy, all these things. It's the most inefficient relationship between a slot receiver and a quarterback I've ever seen. Dan Ball?
I also think, to your point, you have a much more obvious replacement for what Pop Douglas does in the slot receiver position with Efton Chisholm than you do with what Ramondre Stevenson is supposed to be, which is your number one running back.
And what is Efton Chisholm's greatest strength, according to his head coach, Dan Ball?
Catching the football and spatial awareness.
Nope.
What did he say?
Playing strength.
Thank you.
You think that would have helped?
I thought it was something real. Got it.
You think... That's a shot at Mike.
What do you mean, playing strength?
No, give me a specific skill. That's just that's an attribute of a human
being. The first thing Mike Vrabel talked about in the preseason.
All right, good for him.
I think that would have come in handy on a 4th-and-2 play when you catch the ball at, 1.5 yards.
Oh, he darts underneath that guy's legs. Yeah.
For a guy I've never seen play in a real NFL game, I guarantee you he gets that first
down.
You
would have made the damn play.
Absolutely, I know what to do.
And on the 2024 Patriots, one of the worst teams we can all remember, DeMario Douglas had 87 targets for 66 receptions, 621 yards, 3 touchdowns. So far this year, 3 games, 13 targets, 5 catches. Ready for how many yards?
13.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because according to Rich Keefe, there's 174 players in the National Football League have a single reception that's longer than the total yards for Pop Douglas through 3 games this season.
And seen.
Unbelievable. Finally, we talked to our buddy Marcus Jones a little bit earlier in the show on a Patriots Monday. Fitzy asked him about playing without Gonzo, who hopefully, fingers crossed, will return this week.
Marcus, last week, your teammate, secondary mate Christian Gonzalez, returned to the practice field in a limited capacity. Unfortunately, was ruled out Saturday. How's he looking? How's he feeling? I'm not asking you to make a prediction whether he plays or not this week, but what was it like at least having him back there out on the practice field with you?
Yeah, it was great having him back out there. We've played, plenty of seasons and everything like that with each other, and it's great to end up having him out there just from the fact of, communication piece and stuff, and then, also just, having fun out there on the football field. So, it was great having him back out there.
Also, those are the only two Patriots All-Pros, right, that are on the roster? Mm-hmm. All-Pro punt returner and the All-Pro cornerback. Be nice to have
both.
All your all pros on the field playing.
Or just doing their thing. Cornerback that doesn't get torched regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are underestimating the lost value of Gonzo being.
I have not. And
I think a lot of people are.
Well, that's a shame.
I don't think people are really considering. Like, you have Alex Austin and you then put Charles Woods out there and you had DJ James. Like, you lost a guy that some people think is battling to be one of the best corners in football. Patrick Surtain is probably the measuring stick, but fall in line behind that.
Good news this week is you're not playing a team that just shut out another team unexpectedly 30-0 and comes in with a wide receiver who's 6'5 and can jump out of the building.
Yeah. Tet making some plays in the NFL. Those that think he was going to be a bust, it feels like he's not going to be a bust. It feels like he is making some plays down in Carolina. That's going to do it for the drive today here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we take a victory lap. Ish, sort of, for our pick six selections on Friday. Dan Ball will let us know how we did. I know we didn't win for one reason, because my gambling app subtracted money, did not add a boatload of money. So in the end, we definitely didn't get them all right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the one good thing about a not-so-great pick six is that we set the bar nice and low with a combined 4-8 record through the first 2 weeks. But we came back ready to roll in week number three. We started with Andy Hart, who chose Green Bay minus 8.5. We always like host one to set a good example off the top, and here's how that went.
Caught by Njoku, but this ball has to be spiked quickly. Can they get set? 3 seconds, they do. The kick is on the way. The kick is good! And Andre Schmidt from 55!
Just as we all predicted, it was Browns 13, Packers 10. The Browns are allowing the fewest yards per game in the NFL at 204.3. They have the second most sacks in the NFL with 11, and they cost Andy his bet this weekend.
So I got burned by, I think, one of the oldest adages in gambling is that the home dog barks the loudest, and it was a home dog by 8.5 points. Lesson learned, that's too many points to lay on the road.
We're not putting some respect on the name of the Browns defense. That's like 7 yards in the second half when Burrow was healthy. Damn.
No, but I was thinking that the Packers defense might even score some points because the Browns offense isn't that good. So you factored in the Packers. I thought were really good. The Packers aren't as good as I thought. Let's move on.
Okay, we got into the high voice, which means it's time to move on to Nick.
I'm like Drake May. I got multiple voices.
Yeah.
And they're all varying forms of grading. We move on to Fitzy's pick, Minnesota minus 3 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Stiz, what do we do there?
That's Fant. Lost the football. It's Rodgers again, off and running. Oh, my goodness. He runs it back for a second touchdown today.
This is one of the best plays you are going to see.
You got to love the analysis from Tony Romo on Isaiah Rodgers becoming the third player in NFL history to have a 60-plus yard interception for a touchdown and a 60-plus yard fumble recovery for a touchdown in the same game. Vikings 48, Bengals 10 in a win for Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Man, wasn't even that close. How about that? I won by so much. I actually could have covered my spread and loaned 34 points to someone else who needed it to cover theirs.
Yeah, the whole they don't need Joe Burrow, that they're just as good with no.
Jake Browning? No, there was some Browning happening there yesterday for sure.
Absolutely.
On to the final member of the on-air staff, Ted Johnson, who had the Chiefs minus 6 against the New York Giants.
Mahomes putting it up for grabs again for Thornton that time. He reached around his body to catch it at the one. Too good.
That was a catch for Tyquan Thornton. See the next wide receiver one, 617-779. Anyways, since the beginning of the 2023 season, a span of 37 games, the Chiefs own the top scoring scoring defense in the NFL at 18.3 points per game. Kansas City has held the opposition to 20 or fewer points in a league-best 27 of those games. That's 73%. Chiefs 22, the faltering Giants 9.
Jackson Dart on line one. He'll be playing soon.
How soon?
Maybe as soon as this week. There's all these rumblings coming out of the building.
One more start.
They love him so much. He's changing the building. And also, put a pin in, this is the day where everybody's going to go back and say, the Chiefs took off once Andy Reid chest bumped Travis Kelce on the sideline. That's what people are going to use as the line of delineation.
Oh, I thought the cheat code of Tyquan Thornton is what unlocked their offense. You know? One of those, hey, how come we can't get guys?
I'm just going to stare at you. I feel bad for the listener at home. I'm just going to stare at the idiocy that is
Fitzy. How come he couldn't play like that with us?
He's not going to play like that with them. Don't take the banana in the tailpipe again.
But it feels good.
Okay, onwards we go to me. I had Seattle minus 7.5 in their game against the New Orleans Saints. Stiz, please save us from what just happened.
Horton on the return at the 20, right up the middle to the 30. Now Horton to the outside. Torrey Horton down the sideline. And it's a touchdown. 95 yards.
The longest punt return in Seahawks franchise history. For the Seahawks, their offensive line have been outstanding. Sam Darnold has been sacked just 3 times in 3 games, which is the second lowest mark in the NFL. The last time the Seahawks started a season with 3 sacks or fewer after 3 games was 1997. Seahawks 14, the Saints, or excuse me, Seahawks 44, the Saints 13. That makes a bit more sense.
Yes.
Can we talk about how good, in 5 seconds or less, how good Jackson Smith and Jigba is?
Oh, he's very good.
That kid is.
Ever since he got away from my boy Shane Waldron, that relationship.
Have you
didn't
seen
work.
That the Shane Waldron receiver chart?
Okay, we.
I'm just. That's it. I'll leave
him
it
alone.
At that.
Also, it's just come to my attention that I'm the only one who lost with our theory that seemed sound of taking a good team against a really bad team. I'm the only one that didn't work out for.
Yeah, you just couldn't take the best team against the worst team. You just needed to not have the longest spread, and then you'd be fine.
Son of a.
To my behind-the-glass brethren, Stiz, who had the Colts -4.5 against the Titans.
Taylor explodes. Makes a man miss to his right. Spin move, a beauty. Inside the 30. High step into the 25. Inside the 10. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor, 46 yards.
Indiana Jones and the Colts strike again, 41-20 over the Titans. The Colts have now punted once over their first 3 games, the fewest by any team over its first 3 games of an NFL season since at least 1940.
People are missing the story here because of our fixation on quarterbacks. Jonathan Taylor is back.
Revived.
17 carries, 103 yards.
I don't
want
to hear about beast mode or Saquon or any of these things. Jonathan Taylor is back.
How about, is it the line? Is it Jonathan Taylor? Is it both?
Wasn't the line when he was breaking 7 tackles downfield, like ripping his legs out of arms and keep going. Dude is back.
Yeah.
Woo.
Did you guys just catch that Stiz read off Jonathan Taylor's line without reading something?
Is he on your fantasy team?
No, but I was watching the Saints because the Colts, I wanted to win. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
We all like to be right. To be right. About
and I was 0-2 going into this weekend. So.
Yeah, you needed a win.
Last one, Brian Furzocco had the Falcons -4.5 against the Carolina Panthers.
Young under center. Running out. Flushed out. Young towards the corner. He's there.
Panthers 30, Falcons about to come to bat. The Panthers, their quarterback Bryce Young, 7-26 as an NFL starter, but 3-1 against the Atlanta Falcons in his career.
He only came up 35 points short, Brian. You can't make fun of us for any picks. That is the worst pick we've had this year by far.
I mean,
it's
that's
not even close.
That's probably the most surprising defeat of the NFL season thus far.
Yeah, but that's the reality of these young quarterbacks. You can't count. I don't want to count on Bryce Young any more than I want to count on Penix or May or any of these guys.
Caleb Williams.
Yes.
He's not going to throw 4 touchdowns next Sunday, right?
You almost feel like you need to bet Oppo whatever they just did. If they played great, assume they're going to have a bad game. Like, use that reverse whatever logic.
So Pats will roll the Panthers Sunday then?
I think there's a good chance. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, this is illogical logic, but whatever. Run with it.
That's where we do our best work. So a 4-2 week wins on the week for Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson, myself, and Stiz. 4-2 on the week, our best performance so far.
Ooh,
on
we're
the
getting better.
Picks. That's right. You'll almost, at some point, maybe.
We're
win your
close
bet.
To winning a ghost parlay.
That's right.
Right. Ghost like thing.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Let's
go. I'll take one of those. Hey, real quick, round the room tonight. 4.5. The Ravens are favored at home against the Detroit Lions. What do we like?
Yeah, I think they're going to smoke the Lions.
I have a feeling that's going to be a double digit win.
Yeah.
Probably the over? 52.5?
Yeah, I'll take the over, but I feel better about the
Ravens and the over.
The Ravens, right, absolutely. Right. That's going to do it for our pick six recap. We're getting better. We're like the Patriots, who may or may not be getting better. We're getting closer to victory, sort of like the Patriots in a weird way. But up next, we're going to revisit Drake May. Great interview coming off a tough game. Handled himself with some professionalism and also had a little fun talking Boston sports at the end of it. So Drake May interview up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love.
I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's that conversation with the quarterback. The Patriots quarterback is joining us here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, how are we doing this Monday?
Yeah. That was a tough one, but I'm doing all right.
It was a tough one. Certainly you had chances to win throughout. How do you guys handle, react to all the turnovers? Five turnovers. I mean, obviously you had a couple, but Ramondre had a couple. How do you support each other, but also make sure it's not something that's allowed to stick around and fester?
Yeah, I think it's two rally around each other. I think pump each other up. First off, just kind of disguise how important, you know, holding the football and protecting it is. You know, you can't, it's hard to win games in this league when you lose the turnover battle, especially by the margin that we did. So, yeah, just round around each other, know that shoot is important. Protecting the guy with the ball, protecting the ball yourself. And I think just the positive from it is, you know, we still move the ball and have some plays that we left out there knowing and still remain in the game. So, you know, it's tough to take away, you know, something positive from five turnovers, but I think at the end of the day, and you know, fixing that, and it's something that's not just something that you can just say, "Hey, next week we're going to fix it." It's something that, you know, take pride in practice, and you know, in the game when it matters of you know, trying to fix it.
Drake, I saw you yesterday on field pregame talking to Matt Ryan on the NFL on CBS, and when he asked you what the key to the game was, you said you just had to get the ball. You had to start running the ball. Running the ball would be key yesterday, and it seemed like, you know, there were some effective running plays, but obviously you weren't able to. Was that a product of Pittsburgh's defense, or, you know, turning the ball over, or maybe a combination therein?
Yeah, just not getting in a groove, really, in the running game. I think we're close, you know, watching the tape back. We're close on some runs, close to, you know, having some of them pop. So I think just keep going. Just keep buying into it, and those guys are blocking hard up front. Those backs are good players. So, I think just getting a groove, and I think some of them are going to pop, you know, later on down the road.
I think both you and Josh McDaniels earlier this year had some comments similar about, you know, there's good plays or there's plays you learn from. Like, that's sort of the options when you're out there. In terms of that interception at the goal line in particular, is that an example of a play you learn from, and that experience maybe will change the way you approach a similar situation in the future?
Yeah, I think you learn from any interception you throw. You know, I think it's unfortunate how it got tipped in. I was trying to throw kind of a little, you know, back shoulder ball to Booty. It would have been a touchdown. So maybe giving a different ball flight to it. It was my learning down there, but really I wouldn't, you know, change my decision down there throwing it. So it's unfortunate that, you know, a good player got his hands on it. And, but from there, I wouldn't change my decision.
And a quick follow-up on that, on your fumble, I know post-game last night you made some comment to the effect just trying to do something stupid or dumb. Is that another example? Just experience where the speed, the situation, you know, when to live to fight another play, is that another one you'll sort of put in your back pocket and might alter things down the road?
Yeah, no doubt. You can't do that when we got a chance, you know, with the game on the line.
Yeah, I saw the post-game yesterday, Drake, that you said – that you need to tell Pop to, get that extra yard, or I forget the actual wording, and it felt to me like you were kind of taking one for the team and helping Pop out there. I mean, do you believe that you really need to remind everybody what they need to do on a specific gotta have it type of play, or is that leadership on display from you?
I think it's my job in the huddle of, hey, we're in short yardage, or hey, guys up front, a run play, we need a yard. I think just certain plays where I can just give them something, you know, one last reminder before they run out and, you know, run their route or try to execute the play. I think that's always something that can go a long way. And, you know, my voice matters in the huddle, and just using that, you know, to the best of my ability and the best way to kind of keep everybody on the same page and kind of, just like I said, just one last little reminder would be sweet.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here with us on a Patriots Monday, WEEI Afternoons. We've had sort of a lot of negative-toned questions so far. Let's go to the positive. It looked like you and Hunter Henry were really feeling it. A couple touchdowns in there. He was making plays. How good is that relationship, the trust level? I know you guys go back basically all of last year. You had a good relationship. How much faith do you have in Hunter Henry when you need a play?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a great player. He's one of them. He's the best, you know, tight end I play with in my lifetime. So just trying to, you know, keep growing and keep kind of seeing the same things. I thought he did a great job getting his head around on the second touchdown. And, you know, he's a mismatch and against really whoever is manning him up. So, you know, he's tough to guard. And him and Hoop do a great job of kind of having a 1-2 punch in the run game and the pass game. And they play off each other well. So, yeah, just keep on continuing to grow and find ways to get him the football.
Drake, you were the team's leading rusher yesterday. Looked great out there. I think it was 7 carries total for 45 yards. How comfortable are you running the ball now and using your feet as a weapon and bailing the offense out at times during those got-to-have-it plays?
Yeah, sure. I felt comfortable. I felt comfortable really my whole career making plays. Continue to find them, trying to make throws, you know, outside the pocket and keep my head downfield. And I think Vince's yesterday that I could have maybe made it easier on some of the close, you know, kind of slides of dishing out to one of our players. So just keeping my head up and remaining a pass for as long as I can and just keeping them honest on the run game.
The cameras caught you, your back of your head hitting the turf down there in the red zone, and then your hands kind of reaching up and grabbing your head at that same time. Were you dinged up? Did you feel anything there? Or were you just more worried about hopping up so you wouldn't unnecessarily maybe miss a play due to the spotter situation? I know you went through, you had some experience with that last year. Just take us through what happened there.
Yeah, no, I felt good. You know, I think, you know, kind of right after you hit the ground, how you feel, you know, coming off of a hit like that. So, yeah, probably should have thrown away earlier, but no, I felt good and felt fine.
You said earlier last week that you need to get Stephon Diggs the ball more and get him involved in the offense. Unfortunately, only 3 targets yesterday. Was that more of a situational thing? Was that part of the game plan? And how do you think you can work on that going forward?
Yeah, I think there's some opportunities I left out there that had Steph open, and I think he's doing everything right. He's playing hard. He did some things that didn't show up in the stat book throughout the game that were huge. So just continue to, you know, tell him I'm coming his way, and all those guys in the receiver room, they're doing good things. Just got to, you know, do it, kind of every play.
As you seek efficiency with all those guys, with the wide receiver position as a whole, Pop Douglas has been targeted 13 times, only 5 catches. I don't feel like that's a great efficiency number right there. How do you improve that relationship? Is that practice? Is that reps? How do you try to make that a more efficient relationship?
No, too. I mean, he had a big game for us last year. I don't think it's anything, that we need to change. Just, you know, I missed him, you know, a couple times where he had to catch for some big plays. So just come keep going. Just keep running routes hard. Keep practicing hard. Keep doing things the right way. The ball's going to find him. I'm not worried, you know, about Pop. He's made some big plays for us, and he's a tough mismatch.
So you said that your voice is important in that huddle, and I imagine you probably had some supportive words to offer to teammates, especially Ramondre with the fumbles. You know, tough outcome yesterday. But I'm just very curious, what's the best something someone ever said to you in football, could be college, high school, even in the pros, after you had a tough moment or a tough loss?
That's a good question. Practice-wise, one of my first probably weeks here, too, I remember Dave Andrews saying to me after practice out there in training camp or maybe in OTA, he said, it's never as good as you thought it was. It's never as bad as you thought it was. And, this is the NFL, and this is how you got to approach it. You know, it's on to the next. So that's one of the best things practice-wise. Game-wise, I'm trying to just learn on my own that how impactful some of these certain plays in these game situations, you know, how impactful they are for the game. And just really just you got to take it, you know, every play like it's going to be one that changes the game. So I think, you know, Coach McDaniels just taught me that, and Jacoby Brissett helped teach me that last year, just knowing the situation and knowing how important that those plays can be.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, Tom Brady made some news last week when he was talking about on a podcast the development of young quarterbacks and how young quarterbacks are kind of fast-tracked onto the field and these different things. And I'm just wondering, you're in year two of this process. You played last year. You're the starter right now to open the season. What do you think of this process? Has this been harder than you expected it to be? Have you, you know, felt like you're drinking from a fire hose, so to speak? What is this process like, making the leap to franchise quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, this process is why I'm playing the game. You know, why I play football. You know, why I'm trying to win. Why I'm trying to win so hard. Why it's one of the most special positions in sports. You know, it's an awesome position. It's great. You know, learning from different coordinators. It's awesome, kind of like be able to, you know, pull some from each. And you know, the way Coach McDaniels does his offense, just learning defense and pick up little things here and there from veterans and quarterbacks in the room with me. So, you know, I'm loving it. You know, it's something that I don't take for granted. I'm blessed to be in the position, and I'm just looking forward to keep attacking it every day and put some good stuff on tape. And I think we got the guys in this building to do that and just keep working.
Drake, as you continue to establish yourself as a top-tier starter in the NFL and a top member of the 2024 NFL quarterback first-round class, I'm curious, do you keep in touch with some of the other quarterbacks, or do you have relationships with some of those guys like Caleb, Bo, Michael Penix? You guys have like a group chat or anything like that?
No, nothing really. I mean, we see each other in the offseason sometimes, and obviously when you play or at joint practices, we have them with both of the two guys in my class. So, yeah, I got to know them good throughout the process of drafted and, you know, Caleb and JJ and some of those guys. I was back in high school with Elite 11 and stuff, so it's cool to see, you know, the journey of them. But, yeah, those guys are good dudes. But like I said, we're competitive and we're competing when, you know, it's, you know, football season.
Drake, just circling back, I meant to ask you this earlier, to that possession on the goal line. Three straight pass plays. But Mike Vrabel was on with the Greg Hill Show this morning. He kind of alluded to that, you know, there's some alerts there. There could be a run option, a run play option. Just without getting into specific game plan, sort of explain to us how that works and how that situation maybe could have played out differently, or if you're comfortable with how it played out with three straight passes.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just the time is such a important factor down there, and you know, using timeouts, we got them to draw them off sides, so they put in their big group, and just, you know, the first one we tried a little play action to hopefully you know, catch them in a, you know, man with their eyes in the backfield, and they passed it off, but. You know, really, I think down there, you're just trying to, you know, try to get a man's own tell and trying to run it, you know, when they're playing the pass and trying to, you know, throw it when they're playing the run. That's the main gist of down there up close in the goal line. You know, such tight windows and tight spaces. You're trying to, you know, throw it in tight windows. And, you know, I think, you know, what we had going, we had, you know, good solid plays. I think, you know, I wish we would have obviously had the last one back and maybe the second one I could have ran it. So, you know, just some decisions that you're learning. You know, I'm learning from and learning kind of looks in our guys and what the defense is doing. So,
we've only seen him on the field in the preseason. Hasn't been active for the first three games. But just in case he happens to be active for this Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers at Gillette, what's your take on rookie undrafted free agent wide receiver Efton Chisholm, and what kind of rapport do you guys have?
Yeah, he, you know, he's been awesome since, you know, the day he got here. He's kind of tagged along, you know, veterans and, you know, guy like Mac Collins, you know, always see him staying after and getting extra conditioning in and drawing up plays and drawing up the play sheet. So, you know, I've watched, you know, I've caught him here late in the building, you know, numerous times, him watching extra tape and, you know, me just trying to teach him and show him through, you know, what I see and what I'm seeing from the quarterback position and what he's seeing. So he's doing all the right things and just continue to show up and do the stuff on practice, you know, scout team, and I think it's going to end up paying off. But, yeah, I think he's got a bright future.
Drake, we saw Jason Tatum on the sideline, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony yesterday, and I know Tatum was actually down at practice at one point. Just wondering, in sort of the fraternity that is Boston sports stars, young stars, do you have relationships with those guys? Obviously, guys like Anthony and Meyer are sort of in a very similar situation to you. They are – young guys thrust into a high level of competition with high expectations. What's your relationship with some of those guys?
Yeah, I got to meet, you know, Jason when I got up here drafted. I got to meet some of the Celtics guys, and obviously he played in the ACC and played at Duke, so he used to play against my brother, and got to meet him when he came out here at practice. So that's been about his obviously recovery and road to recovery. So yeah, it's so different when you're out here around a bunch of 300, you know, 20-pound, you know, big lineman and stuff, and then a guy like Jason walks out and he looks like he's shoot towering over all of us. It's pretty funny. Just a different world of sports are. But yeah, then I reached out to both Marcelo and Roman, you know, when they got called up, and just reached out to them, and I think I talked to them maybe both of them once on FaceTime. So you know, those obviously, you know, bright futures for them, and been following them, you know, with the Red Sox, you know, making, you know, the push, you know, into the postseason. So I think it's always cool to keep up with stars and try to get to know them. So
Drake, big one, obviously, coming up this Sunday as well. Carolina Panthers coming to town. Your hometown team, any twist in the allegiance there? Is that going to be tough play? First time ever playing against a team that was kind of the NFL team you grew up rooting for?
No twist. it's pretty easy. But, yeah, there's a lot of great memories and you know, with the Panthers and, you know, being a fan. But, yeah, I think once they let go of Cam back in the day, they lost the fan in me. So that was kind of it for me.
Time now for the quarterback question of the week, which is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This question comes from Arthur in Abington, but we've actually got it in a lot of different forms, Drake, on the text line, phone lines. A lot of fans want to know why you don't end these interviews with Go Pats anymore the way you did last year.
Yeah, I thought about that last time I was in an interview. It's different over the phone when I'm not in there with you guys and you can't really see me. No, but I'll make sure to do it today. So, no, I appreciate that. I thought about that last time I hung up.
All right, well, that's going to do it. So here's your opportunity.
There we go. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Go Pat.
All right, thanks, Drake. That interview with Drake May was our odds and ends segment here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons today. Stick around for the Christian Arcan Show leading into Monday Night Football, Ravens-Lions. We'll be back tomorrow. It's a Ted Johnson Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. A little TED Talk at 3:30. We get his reactions to that Patriots ugly loss. We'll have Mark Schlereth at 2:30. We'll have Brian Hoyer at 4:30. Join us tomorrow, 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. See ya.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.